previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
By the way, it's the best job I ever had in my life, is being a trash man.
Really?
I loved everything.
Wow.
And it was so fun. You know, you're the first person up in the city. It was a 7-day-a-week job. I know roughly where Tony Corner's house is. I don't know exactly which one, but I'm sure, and he did not live there then, I picked up his trash 200 or 300 times from his house he's living in. So I have a trash connection with the TK podcast, I suppose.
Well, when you said you love it, I was going to ask you, is that because of all the rolls of quarters you got as tips, you know, at the holidays and stuff? Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast.
On the WTFC Podcast Network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hi, Chuck.
Hey, Littles.
Hi, Littles.
Roxy's like 3 feet away from
I'm waving to you,
She's
and you can see me.
I can see her. It's so nice to have you back in studio. Not our real studio.
No.
But our studio in downtown Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Where Roxy is. So much going on. So much to get into. So much for us to do today.
Yes.
Today is jam-packed.
Jam-packed.
I mean, yesterday was jam-packed. You've only been here like 2 days, and I feel like it's been jam-packed the entire time. So first things first, we have some A1 above the fold thank yous, but we also have a shout out. First of all, I mean, we're in Milwaukee, so let's start there. I don't even know, I'm at a loss for words, Roxy, as to the generosity and the friendship and just the loving care that episode number 2 has shown us and the Littles.
Yes.
And given to us. I mean, where do we begin?
Oz,
I mean, thank you, obviously.
Thank you.
But, I mean, Emerald City Catering out here in Milwaukee.
Yep.
If you're anywhere near it, make sure you look it up. Use it for your banquets, weddings. We found out
funerals.
There's a cemetery right across the street. And so he said one of his top clients are, you know, after funerals.
Yep.
They
go there,
they
to,
go
gather
there
and
to gather and
have their
mourn, whatever it is. But Emerald City Catering, can't talk more enough about it. I'm stuttering because I'm at a loss for words. He hosted Chuck Fest starring Roxy.
Featuring Roxy.
Excuse me. Want to make sure I get that right.
Starring Chuck, featuring Roxy.
Yeah. I just, the generosity. I mean, he just kept bringing out food and making drinks. And
I know.
It was just like,
I had squirt for the first time.
Everyone loves that squirt. All right. But no, let's get back to a serious note here for a second. I never had it either, to be honest. It was refreshing, I guess is how I would say it. Also had some Fresca while I'm out here for the first time because it's in our show.
Yeah.
So first of all, let's thank all the Littles too that came out. There were a few that did the pre-party first. Jason Massapus was there.
Yes.
Who we're hopefully going to see in a few hours.
Yep. And his lovely wife.
That's happening.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's generously invited us over to the stadium for a little tour. So hopefully that's going to happen. I mean, who else was there? Jamie was there. Jamie Armato was there.
Yep.
Obviously, Dana in Damascus flew in from Maryland to Chicago. She trained in from Chicago to here.
Yes. Heather Garcia.
Heather Garcia was here. She drove into town.
Yep.
I feel like we're missing people, Roxy. I was just so overwhelmed with the generosity of everyone coming before the show, coming to see the show, and then Oz hosting us all at his place, Emerald City Catering out there, out here in Milwaukee.
I know, we were out late.
I got to be honest.
It was so fun.
It was after one, right?
Uh-huh.
We're sitting. I mean, I got to figure out a way to compose, or someone should compose an email to Tony to like explain how, I don't know, just did I ever feel like I would ever be hanging out till after 1 a.m. in some random bar in Milwaukee? you know what I mean? It's just like, all right, maybe there's that. But I mean, I don't, not with Littles.
No.
That's what I guess where I'm going with this, you know, and just what he's created and all that.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we were here was a little over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And we didn't know any Littles.
No.
We didn't have this podcast or anything. So our hangout was the safe house.
Right.
So.
And I haven't been to the safe house
yet. No.
I mean, we went to the pre-show. It was the camp. Is that what it was called?
The camp. Mm-hmm.
Great little place.
Oh, my gosh. It was
so great. I think Jamie recommended that. Or maybe it was Oz. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a cute little place. And that's only like three blocks from the theater.
It was great. We sat right in front of the fireplace.
Yeah.
I had a prime spot right next to it. It was so nice and cozy.
So we're probably going to hit that again.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Oz, for all the hospitality.
Yes.
I know all the littles here in Milwaukee. Thank you. And the ones that were from out of town.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, Dina was commenting on how great that is. Now she has another little group of friends, you know, and as I said to Tony, when I wrote in, when I first got here, when Oz and I took the picture of the Fonz, I truly meant it. I feel like any city I go to now, you know, within reason, I feel like I have a little bit of family here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even the ones that we haven't met yet.
Yeah.
You know, like meeting Jason and Jamie for the first time.
Right.
I mean, Heather, we had met at Jingle Fest and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I just, it just blows my mind. And you want to know something else that blows my mind, Roxy?
What?
All right. The other one, A1 Above the Fold, leading off the show with it. Okay. We got an email. It says Chuck and Roxy, AKA Choxy. I teased about one last thing I did to embrace my episode number. Here it is. This has also got to be on the big show, people.
Yes.
I got a new license plate for the car I drive. It's obviously not a Subaru. Charlie Warren, number 282. And he sent a picture of his new vanity license plate that says Choxy 282.
Yep.
Now it's CHXY.
Yep.
I think.
Well,
I guess
we all know what that means.
I mean, yeah. CHXY 282. If you haven't seen the pictures on Facebook, they're amazing.
And it came out of the blue. No idea.
We had no idea.
It was such a fun surprise.
Charlie Warren.
You are outdoing yourself.
I mean, bravo. That gets studio claps. That gets everything. I mean, above and beyond. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it like brought a tear to my eye and something I was like, you've got to be kidding me with this, right? So that gets A1 Above the Fold as well.
And I had a little idea playing off of that.
What was that?
But that might be...
Oh, right. That's a little hush hush. We're doing the ultimate tease on that one. We're not telling you that one.
Just in case.
Even at the end of the podcast. If you know, you know. Let's see. What else do we got, Roxy? We've got so much. We heard from Eric Londrigan. He says, for what it's worth, I would root for the Yankees in your end of show teaser payoff scenario, but I'd wash my mouth out with soap afterwards for being a bad boy. All right. Now, bear with me on this one. P.S. I think we can all agree that gluconeogenesis was much better with Peter Gabriel. I'm pronouncing those wrong, Roxy. Those were your words.
Gluconeogenesis.
Okay, whatever she says said.
Genesis is the creation of something.
Well, but Genesis is...
Everything else, I don't know.
That's you know, Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel, you know, anyway. But Roxy, you said you have some new words.
Okay, first of all, this word starts with the letters E-I. So what is that?
What do you mean?
Is it eco, E-I-co? Whatever.
We'll spell the whole thing.
E-I-C-O-S-A-P-E-N-T-A-E-N-O-I-C. All one word.
Okay.
Is it maybe icosapentaenoic?
Sure.
And then you tack on the word acid.
Now, I'm not looking at these in my defense.
It's also called EPA for short.
There we go. We'll just go with EPA.
Then the next word is DOCO or DOCOS. Hexanoic acid or DHA for short.
Okay. That's not the type of podcast we're doing here.
They're basically essential omega-3 fatty acids found in marine sources like fish and krill.
Okay. I still don't know what that is, but whatever. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Great.
We'll just, you know.
The new words.
Go with it and we'll see what happens on the test.
Let's see who the smarty pants are. Write in. Tell us what. No, I mean, yeah. What do you have to do? You have to just know what they mean? You don't have to pronounce them, obviously, right?
No. This is not going to be a verbal test or anything like that.
Gotcha.
It's just a, yeah. But actually, Heather Garcia taught me a trick. She said, well, some of these words, if you break each word down into little sections, each little section means something, and then you put them together, and that's the main definition of the entire word. So that was helpful.
Oh,
that was
okay.
A little helpful, yeah.
And I guess we should give her a shout out and Patrick.
Yes.
Her new friend that was with her for getting us back to the hotel safely.
Yeah.
At like 1:30 or 2 in the whatever time it was.
Yep.
When we left Oz's.
Yep. And it was so much fun to
Jamie
reconnect.
Jamie brought us over and it was just such a great night.
Yep.
So going on these, I had written down here, I always take some notes. Now, Roxy, you also said you had a follow up on rooting for the Yankees.
Okay, yes.
Plus some new words. So we got the new words out of the way. Now, you have a follow up to the rooting for the Yankees because it's been coming up on the big show even more now recently.
Yeah, right. I mean, to be honest, I don't think I will ever root for the Yankees. And in this scenario, my follow up is that if we have to hope that the Yankees beat another team for us to be top or move forward, then we have done something seriously wrong the entire season. So we deserve what we get.
Sometimes it just happens to fall that way.
Yeah, I still.
I mean,
root
yeah,
for
you
them.
Could say we should have won more games during the season.
Yeah,
sure.
Should have shown up and done our job.
But I mean, if it's a matter of getting a first round bye, I don't even know. Do they do that in baseball? I can't even remember. They futtered with the playoff system so much that I forget how it works now. But yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I'm not talking about just making the playoffs. This could be like to win the division.
No, right.
As opposed to just getting a wild card or something.
Right.
And then that puts you in a better
but
spot.
But that's the other thing. A wild card is a wild card. We've won the World Series when we were
that's
a wild
true.
Card. So
that's very true. That's very
Wait,
true.
I had that right?
Yes, we've won. That's how we won the... Yes. Yeah, we've definitely come out of the wild card slot. And I mean, I guess, but that's what we're saying. If it's the potential of getting a wild card just to get into the playoffs and the Yankees have to beat someone that mm-hmm. day... for us to make it.
Yeah.
You know.
But I mean, there's a lot of wild cards now, right?
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is
that's
if it's
like
the
giving
last
a that's
one,
like giving
it's
a participation trophy.
Plus, see, I got to be honest, most times I feel like if it's come to that, like what you're saying, mm-hmm. we're probably not going to move far in the playoffs anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Like you're just yeah. to say you're in, big
yeah.
deal.
Yeah.
But you know, like you said, we've come out of that slot before. We've won the whole thing. You know, there's been other teams that people don't think are going to go very far.
Right.
They just get
and
in
then,
and then they make some noise.
Yep.
You know, they don't necessarily win at all, but they make some noise. So anyway, that's enough sports for this. I feel for the Lions fans. I do.
I know. That was tough.
That was tough.
That was really
and
tough.
And I blame. Can I blame Roxy?
Okay. So I blame you, Chuck, because you were like, wait. Let's change the channel. We don't have to watch 15 minutes of the halftime. And I'm like, yeah, but then, you know, it's
okay,
only
you
15
did say it's
minutes.
Only 15 minutes. But I was like, I knew. All right, look, Roxy was nice enough. We got back from the show. We went out for a nice dinner. I had a matinee only.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before the day off.
Yep.
And we went to the Edison downtown.
It was really good.
It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got there, the first game was just getting over. And then basically by the time we got home, the second game was just starting.
Yeah.
And so I put it on and you were very nice. You didn't say anything, you know, and you enjoy watching football from time to time. But you were like, you had no horse in the race, basically. You
well,
could care less.
I was hoping for Detroit to.
Okay. But
pull
you know what
through.
I'm saying? You know, it's NFC.
You know, I like the 49ers, but. Yeah.
And we have friends who like the 49ers.
Yeah.
But I felt because Detroit had.
They're the underdog.
Yeah. Yeah. They never won and all that stuff.
Right.
But anyway, so we get to I'm like, wow, this isn't even a game. And we get to halftime and I was just like, wow, this is a blowout. Okay. So I just said to you, I was like, I knew there was something on
Stars,
which is on demand or whatever that's called. And I said, you know, maybe we should watch that. And you were like, well, you don't have to turn it. And I was like, well, it's halftime. You know, we don't have to sit here and listen to them talk about, you know, the first game and what went right for, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you did say that. But then we started watching it and we just kept watching
it. It's sort of both of our faults.
So what was it? Party Down?
Party Down. Season 3.
Yeah.
Season 2 ended when? In 2010?
Something like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
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 So they brought it back for like a reunion season.
And we had discovered it during 2020 COVID, right?
Yeah.
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 We
so
had
we
never
watched
heard of it.
We watched the first two seasons then.
And it was great.
It was great. And then it didn't happen again until now.
Yeah.
2023.
So we started watching. We got like 4 episodes in and I'm like checking my phone. I'm like all of a sudden I'm like, uh-oh, it's
and
tie.
I'm like, oh, shoot, the game.
I'm like, it's tie game. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, wow, the 49ers went up. So we watched the end after that. But, you know, I think we jinxed the Lions by turning the channel. It's our fault. Sorry, Lions fans. But all right. One last thing we have to get into. You know, we do big show references.
Yep.
Okay. But this time we're going a different way. We're not going TK show. Because I got to get some intel on this. And I'm going to write her. Episode 100. Okay. Tori Clark. This is from Chatter on Books, okay, her podcast. They had a question, basically. Okay, it's about books, you know, obviously. Okay, and it says, how many books did you read last year?
Oh, right.
Can you answer that?
Zero.
You read zero. No, well, you read a lot of, like, textbooks, though.
Well, yeah,
okay.
But that's not, I would not consider that a book.
I'm not so sure, because wait till you hear this information, because I was like,
what? I also don't always read all of it.
No, of course you don't, but you know what I'm saying. You do some reading, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were, of course, talking, Claude's on there, and, you know, I forget what episode he is, but he's been on our podcast, and he was talking about how he's got so much busy with the audio stuff, but he does listen to audiobooks. Does that count? And they, of course, were like, of course that counts.
I would think so.
I mean, you're not physically reading them,
just
but
because your eyeballs aren't shifting from left to right doesn't mean.
Anyway, that was kind of up for debate.
Okay.
And then it came out of nowhere. Someone said, well, I know this many, but I know at least 4 of those I didn't finish because I knew the ending because it was like a true story, you know, whatever. A couple of these were politic based, you know, and they knew who won the election, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, so I didn't bother reading the end. And so she just chimes in. She goes, oh, you don't have to finish the book for it to count. And I was like, wait a minute, what? Littles, what say you? I mean,
definitely not. You have to finish the book.
That's what I would think. But now I'm kind of curious because I'm going to contact her and be like, so this is causing some debate here. Because, like, and then, well, if that's the case, that's fair. Mm-hmm. But then what's the cutoff? Like, you can't obviously say I read the first 10 pages, so I read the book.
Yeah, right.
So what is half?
No, I think it needs
three-quarters?
To be. No, even that's, more than that.
Well, but they're saying you don't have to finish the book. So what does that mean?
Well,
the last chapter?
If you're going to take this example of, like, say it's a political book and it's about an election and the end of the book is about the outcome of the election. You don't necessarily know, you know the outcome, but you don't necessarily know how that outcome is being written by said author of said
book.
Well,
no, some of these are like autobiographies. So
it's the
person
still,
who lost the election. No, I get what you're saying.
But still,
yeah,
they might
yeah.
have different insight than what they had when they like had to give their losing speech, whatever it's called. You
right.
know what I mean? So, or their
concession or whatever.
Concession
yeah,
speech
right,
or victory
right.
speech. So, no, I,
no, look,
I would
I'm with
read
you,
the
Roxy.
Whole thing.
I'm with you. I was shocked when they, and she just so casually said it. She's like, oh, no, you don't have to finish the book
for it
to
count. I don't
agree
with that.
So I don't know. Maybe we'll have to get Tori back
but
on.
But yeah, I guess I'd be curious what her opinion is on what constitutes finishing a book.
Right. Yeah.
How far do you have to read into it?
And Littles, what say you? We want to hear from you too. So that's where we're ending this. But we have one more big thank you real quick. Thank you, Mark Hughes. Episode 292. He became a monthly supporter, Roxy.
Yeah.
How sweet is that?
Thank you so much.
That's really sweet.
That's yeah, we really appreciate that.
We hope you liked your episode. Mm-hmm. And thank you for becoming the newest
monthly
recent, supporter.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So remember, Roxy, if they want to become a monthly supporter, they can certainly do that. They can go to our webpage.
LoyalLittlesPod.com.
Scroll to the bottom. The link is right there.
It's a Spotify, right?
Spotify link is down at the bottom. You just click on it. It'll take you there. It gives you different options. Unfortunately, $5.11 is not one, but you could do that over on Venmo. On our Venmo page, you can always do that and just donate one time.
Yeah, if you don't like the subscription.
Yeah, if you don't want to become a monthly supporter, we totally understand that.
Yep.
But if you do, it's on our website. We appreciate all you monthly supporters. We couldn't do this without you. And remember, if you become a monthly supporter, you get some mediocre prizes from us.
Yes,
you
do.
You get some junk.
Yeah.
No, it's good stuff.
You also get your name on our website.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, you get the name on the website.
That's cool.
And you get some mediocre stuff that we'll be sending your way, Mark. We really appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for becoming our most recent one. That's really sweet. Anyway, speaking of our Meet the Littles guests...
Yes.
We got another good one, Roxy.
We do.
You ready to go to the Big Easy?
I sure am.
Let's do it. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
Hi, this is Michelle from Houston. You're listening to the Loyal Littles podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
We are being played in this episode by Bertrand's Wish, and this song is called Always Been the Same. We've played their stuff before, and we love them. If you like what you hear and you want to get in touch with them, the best place to find all their stuff is on Facebook, Spotify, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, a thing called TuneBubble, which I'm not very familiar with, and of course, Apple Music. Just head on over to any of those places and just search Bertrand's Wish. It's BERTRANDSWISH. We'll put all that in the show notes. And remember, the most important thing is we will play the full song, Always Been the Same, at the end of the podcast. All you loyal littles, it's now time to
meet the littles
and Roxy.
Yeah, Chuck.
We've been talking off air, not originally from this place, but a place near and dear to my heart. We're gonna find all about it. Please welcome to the podcast, Josh Bodie. Hey, Josh, how's it going?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you all?
We're fantastic.
We're good.
Especially now that I officially know how to say your name. So this is great.
Awesome. Cool.
I think I had it. If I'm not mistaken, I believe I had that. And it's funny.
I think you did.
It's because
you did. You said it right.
Yeah, it's because of the new show called Fire Country. There's a character named Bodhi on it. And I don't know why. I just hear it all the time. And I'm like, that's what I'm going with. And it worked. So that's great.
All right.
But Josh, we're obviously here to meet you. Take a second. Take us way back. Introduce yourself to all the loyal littles out there.
Sure. Yeah. I'm from Oregon, where I grew up. Was itching to get out of high school. And I went to college in Arizona, Flagstaff, Arizona, Northern Arizona University. Kind of jumped in and out of Colorado in my lifetime. I had an uncle that lived outside of Aspen, so I would go there on my summer vacations, and that's kind of what got me into the bartending world that I work in now. I've lived out in Washington, D.C. for 10 years, and then Louisville, Kentucky for 5 years, and then in the past 4.5 years, I've been in New Orleans.
So basically, you've
been
trying
on tour. To get to New Orleans. Pretty much, yeah, kind of like you.
That's what it feels like.
I kind of had that wanderlust, I guess, and would go somewhere and be like, I want to live here for a while, and then do that, and then get a little tired. But New Orleans has always been a goal to get down here. I used, back in 2000, the winter of 2000, 2001, I worked on a riverboat out of here for a couple months, 7-night cruises out of New Orleans, and
wow.
I would come back on the 7th night at about midnight. And we'd roll into the French Quarter and party all night, and then sun came up for breakfast, and then got ready, and then roll out the next afternoon. So I always thought, and New Orleans would be a fun place to live and bartend. And so I finally made the move down here. So here I am.
That sounds like the life, I've got to be honest. But let's go way back. Okay, so where in Oregon, actually?
I grew up in a small town just outside of Portland called Canby.
Okay.
About 25 miles from downtown Portland.
Yeah.
It's a little, it was growing up. It was the first town out of the metro area, and it's grown, the metro area has grown into it. It's a lot bigger, almost unrecognizable at points. So.
I was just curious because I love the Pacific Northwest. I've always loved it up there, especially Portland, Eugene, all those places. Love them. It's just really pretty up there. I'm sure it's miserable in the wintertime, but can't be as miserable as it is in Milwaukee. That's all I'm going to say. But Arizona, you made the right choice. You went somewhere warm. What was your major?
I wasn't really the greatest student in the world, but I thought I was going to be a broadcast journalism major. That was my original goal. And I just kind of played around and had never graduated. Started bartending, and then there you go. So
yeah. Well, you found your niche. Yeah.
But I actually went to college in Flagstaff, Arizona, which is actually quite a snowy city. They're like about an hour and a half north of the Phoenix area, and about 5,000 feet higher in elevation, and they average like 90 some inches of snow, or they used to, at least back in the day. A little ski resort right outside of town.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've gone from driving 15 miles an hour down the freeway because it was snowing so hard to clear skies and 75 degrees an hour and a half later. Is pretty crazy.
Wow.
Wow.
That's kind of information for life for me. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
I mean, it always makes me laugh, you know, when people say, you know, sunny California, and they forget that, like, you know, Redding, California is so far north, obviously cold and snowy sometimes.
I remember we went up to the area, Redding, California, for vacation once, and I remember thinking, because of the ocean in Oregon is so cold, and I remember thinking, once you cross into California, it's nice and warm. And I was like, no, it's the same. It's the same.
Yep.
You know,
a little further south.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
I remember one tour, we were stuck up in that area for like weeks in the winter. And, you know, we were in Idaho, Boise, Idaho, all these places in Idaho and Wyoming and then California. And we thought, oh, California. And then, oh, yeah. I remember we were heading our way down to Texas and it was just one of the rest stops. And we got out and you could finally just like kiss the ground. It was just warm enough where you're like, oh, thank goodness we're out of that finally. But the reaction people had was just hilarious because it was like, like you said, you immediately hit spring, it felt like. So all right, so now, do you happen to ski though? Is that something that happened while you were in Arizona, which I would never think to ask?
I did a little too much skiing. The study struggled that for sure.
Right.
So it was a small resort, so if you go on Friday or Saturday, it was so busy. It would like lift lines would I think they've improved it since, but you know, it'd take 45 minutes to get up to the top on the only decent lift, and then you're down. And so I'd go on a Tuesday instead of class.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Much easier.
How'd
I moved to the Aspen Colorado in like 2001, 2002 to do that whole ski bump thing. So that was fun. That was fun for a while. But since I left Colorado in 2003, I haven't skied. So it's been 20 years. So more for the weather anymore. I'm not much of a snow person, so.
Right.
Although, I'll tell you what, New Orleans, the wet, it's a different kind of cold, and my body certainly has adapted over the last 4 years or so.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I got my winter jacket on.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I remember. It'll be interesting.
I was there over Christmas, the week before Christmas. Actually, I think we closed on Christmas Eve, Roxy, that one year, and I flew immediately up to New York.
Yeah, I think you did.
So we could, I think I flew in on Christmas Day, I think. Yeah. If I remember, and you met me at the Dunkin' Donuts, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
weird things that come back to your mind. But no, I remember that week. There was one day when we got there, I was wearing shorts. And now I'm a very cold person. I like the cold weather. So it doesn't bother me, I guess, is my point. Now, when I say when I say cold, I'm talking like 70 to 75, where Roxy would be wearing a jacket. I'm wearing shorts, you know, or 65. But I remember wearing shorts at the beginning of the week. But by the end of the week, it was like I was wearing a jacket. So you knew it had to be cold, you know, for me to be wearing a jacket and pants, basically. So I remember New Orleans can shift pretty quickly. I'm sure all the places in the South are like that. Sure. Now, real quick, I want to get into, before we take a quick break, you wrote into the podcast and we read your email, which you were surprised because it was more just saying, hey, I want to be on the show. But you were talking about, there was one email you wrote about a cocktail down in New Orleans. Now, I really want to get into that because I'd never heard of it. And we think we were pronouncing it wrong, maybe, because we heard from Don Hammack, of course, on one of our last episodes, and he was correcting us.
Oh, I haven't heard
It yet. It was on the sandwich. I mispronounced the sandwich. And
the sandwich, and you added in the cocktail, you added an R.
Right.
It's just a PIMS, P-I-M-M-S.
That's right.
Because, a lot of people do that. A lot of people add that R. I don't know where they get it. But.
Well, in my defense, I swear, I'm being honest, because I always say when I butcher things, I totally admit it. That was a total font thing. Like, it was just so small.
That was a typo.
No, it wasn't a typo. Just the font was so little, so I didn't see it. And so let's talk about that cocktail, though. The
PIMS cup.
Pim's cup. That's what it was.
So it's made with a liqueur called Pim's Number One, and it's a gin-based liqueur with a proprietary blend of herbs, spices, citrus. They don't let people know what it is. But it was created by a guy named James Pim's in the middle of the 1859 or 1869. I always get the two dates mixed up, but he owned an oyster bar in London and had created this cocktail. But the Pim's cup cocktail, you mix it with lemonade and a little splash of lemon-lime soda on top. 7-Up Sprite, right?
Yep.
And then a cucumber garnish. Oh. And it's just a very light, refreshing cocktail. It tastes like kind of tastes like an Arnold Palmer. So it's like a low alcohol drink. And it's just neat and refreshing, especially on a hot summer day. I tell you what.
Yeah.
You can walk around New Orleans with a drink while you're shopping and stuff, which is kind of fun. So we got little plastic go cups with the logo and everything on. It's kind of fun. But yeah, it's just a refreshing drink. And if you want to make it a little stronger, you can add a shot of gin to it. Make it a little sweeter. We add a thing called Gator Bite, which is like a Satsuma flavored rum liqueur. It makes it a little sweeter.
But Gator Bite. We pump
out. But supposedly, our bar introduced Pim's to America back in the 1940s. And it was not created in New Orleans, but adopted in New Orleans for sure.
Hmm.
And I maybe used Pim's 5 times in 20 some years of bartending before I moved to New Orleans. And then the first 5 minutes of the shift, I made more than I ever made. So, yeah, and we make a couple hundred a shift, it seems like.
Wow.
You know, give or take on how busy it is. We crank them out. I tell you what, we do other things too. Really good. We're really known for our Sazerac cocktail as well, which is the New Orleans cocktail for sure. And then whatnot. So, all the classic New Orleans drinks.
Okay. Now, but, maybe. Now, I have a. Obviously, being a Saints fan, a major, bigger connection to New Orleans, but I'm not a big drinker. So I'm shocked at everything you're saying right now, because I guess it's the touristy thing. But what about the hurricane? And like the first time I was there, it was all about the hurricane. You know, you go to the dueling piano bar. What's the name? Oh, what's the?
That's Pat O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but then
that's what they're...
5-10 years later, all of a sudden there is something called the tornado now, which to me, that's just a touristy thing, right?
I'm not familiar with
the
tornado.
Oh, maybe you're making that up. No, there's something.
Sounds like a Bourbon Street thing, and that's the. not necessarily. It's kind of walked down it for some people watching on occasion, but.
So it's like the Times Square of New York, basically, Bourbon Street. You're saying if you want a real drink.
That's how I describe it, actually.
You want a real cocktail, you come to our bar, right? And get a pick.
Yeah,
get a
couple, exactly.
Or, don't get me wrong, Bourbon Street's fun, but get a couple blocks off and you'll find a cool little bar. Little neighborhood French Quarter bar. It's fun. So one of those is more than just the French Quarter. So
yes, absolutely.
You'll be able to branch out.
Absolutely.
So. It is. And I need to go back because I love the beignets and I found the baby in the king cake when I went earlier last year. So I kind of want to go back and see if I could find it again.
Yeah, you're supposed to throw the next king cake party.
Right. You're supposed to go back and throw a party.
Yeah. If you get the baby, that's
all right.
Traditional, supposedly.
Right. Now, I have a little bit of a fun story, but I'm going to tease it. I'm going to save it because we're going to take a quick break, but we have a lot more to get into. Just someone say pizza when we get back, and I'll remember the story.
Okay.
But, all right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with...
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
Some like Chinese takeaway. Turkey from Subway or hot chicken wings. Fish and chips, baby, a chili dog with some onion rings. Me, I know what I'm needing, and it ain't no ham on rye. Give me some New York pizza pie. Screw it up, unless you fold it up when you eat a slice. From Queens out to Montauk, hear this sage advice. I don't know from CC's, but on my word you can rely. Don't call it New York.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast, and we're lucky enough to have Josh Bodie with us. I love saying the name now because I had it right. And I did want to, real quick, you know, you talked about branching out, and you're so right, because I have two stories. One is just bad, because I've said this on the podcast numerous times. I've been to what I consider, for touristy reasons, two of the three greatest times of the year. And I'm not counting the Saints wins or Super Bowl or anything like that. I was there once for New Year's Eve, and I was once there for Halloween. And he's totally right. There was, I forget which one it was. All I remember is I was there with friends. They were there with Phantom of the Opera playing the Sanger Theater. And we went out after hours, we'll say, if there is such a thing in New Orleans. And all I remember is leaving the bar and going through the door, and the sun was already rising. Okay. So it
that can
like,
happen sometimes for sure.
Yeah. And this is in my younger days. And so, but we had such a great time. We really did. It was off the beaten path. Never, you know, it was just this hole in the wall bar. I don't remember. It might've been yours. Who knows, Josh? And that's one of my memories. So you're right. It's not all about the French Quarter, and it's not all about Bourbon Street.
Bourbon Street,
even though it is fun, obviously.
Yeah,
if you've never been, you just got to, like you said, stroll down there. It's just like New York City. You got to stroll through Times Square if you've never been there. But then go somewhere else. Go to a nice Italian restaurant. Don't go to Sparrow's. Don't go to Olive Garden in Times Square. You know, you want to go to a nice place. And but the other one was, last time I was there, I remember someone, it was a local, I don't remember who it was, but recommended this pizza place. And it was off the beaten path, and I mean really off the beat. It was in the middle of nowhere on the outskirts, and I rollerbladed there. It was like a good, I want to say like 3 or 4 miles away. So I thought, you know, this will be a good adventure on one of my days off. I'll rollerblade out, have lunch, have some pizza, and then come back. I wish I could remember the name of the place. I can't. I have pictures. I posted it on Facebook just to make sure they knew I went. It was just okay. I got to be honest, Josh. It wasn't the greatest pizza. Now, obviously, I'm a little, you know, being from New York, I'm a little, you know, I like my pizza. You know, I'm very specific with my pizza. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't like this Midwest stuff, this thin crust Midwest junk that they have. So what's your version? Because you've been all over, too. What's your version with the pizza down there? Do you like it? What do you normally go? What's your go-to?
Oh, no. It's not the greatest. Not their culinary specialty, for sure.
Right.
But
Yeah.
You can find a decent one, though. There is a good little chain that has like a, they do a wood-fired pizza, Neapolitan style.
And what's that called?
It's called Dominica. Dominica, like their main restaurant is at, in the Roosevelt Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And then they got a couple other smaller, like more like neighborhoody couple locations, one uptown and one in, I think, Lakeview neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they're a little more stripped down, just pizza and whatnot. But like the one at the Roosevelt does like really good pastas and the charcuterie and all sorts of, so it's a little more elevated.
Excellent.
And then okay. The neighborhood ones are just a little more.
Yeah.
But yeah, good pizza. That's my recommendation. Pizza in New Orleans. But outside of that, yeah, definitely.
We'll have
fried
to try
chicken
that.
And gumbo and stuff like that.
Oh,
that's,
sure.
That's what I go for here.
Yeah.
Seafood is really good, of course. Char-grilled oysters, nothing like them. It's really good. Mm, so good.
All right. So anyway, let's move on. No, like, we're not seafood
people.
So yeah, no.
Yeah.
I do like my clam chowder though. I do like the New England clam chowder.
There you
stuff.
Go.
So I'll maybe I'll try that next time. That's definitely not the name of the place I went to. I'll have to look it up. I'll look it up before this airs. Talk about it. It was okay. Like I said, it wasn't horrible. I'm not upset. I went out there. You know, took that all that time to head on out to this place, but it was okay. But let's now get into, because this is going to be really interesting, and we're here because of Tony Kornheiser, obviously, but you moved around a lot. Where's your fandom lie? Now, are you a sports guy? Like, what's your favorite sport? Stuff like that. And who do you root for? Because, I mean, my gosh, you started in Oregon, which doesn't have too many pro teams. Now, you had the Trailblazers back then, right, I assume? And stuff like
we
that.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that's it,
I really
think,
wasn't
right?
really a Trailblazer fan, though. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So... I do like sports. Oregon State University was the school that I rooted for. They had a really good basketball program back in the 80s. And ever since Gary Payton ran out of eligibility, they've kind of struggled for the next 30 years. They made a surprise run to the Elite Eight in the COVID 2020 tournament, which was a big surprise. But they're kind of back to their normal subpar big hand team style play, or more losses than wins.
Right. And now your pro teams, because you've been to Arizona, Colorado, now New Orleans. Where's that lie?
So growing up, I was a Minnesota fan. My parents are from Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
So I always rooted for the Twins, and I always rooted for the Vikings. I actually have both of the Homer Hankies from 87 and 91 Minnesota Twins World Series Championship framed. Right. And hanging on my wall. So I was prideful of those. I've dragged those things all around the country. My mom has, actually. And she finally visited and dumped them off and said, I'm done carrying them around for you. So
yep.
Back in my possession now. So, but I've always liked the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 80s when they were good, the fun bunch, they would get in a circle and do a high five after a score. I was always like that.
Yeah.
As a kid, I thought that seemed fun. So I was rooting for them. Mm-hmm. They were my winning team, you know. The Vikings always disappointed me.
right.
And then when I moved to Washington, I lived there for 10 years, and I just kind of adopted the teams. The Nationals moved to town, and I had just moved there, so I said, I'm going to be a Nationals fan. And baseball is my favorite sport, and actually horse racing is my most favorite sport. I am a horse racing fan. I love it. I really enjoy it.
Now,
so,
all horse racing or just the thoroughbreds?
Yeah, just the thoroughbreds.
So not the harness.
Yeah. I don't really get into the harness.
Gotcha.
I've seen it, but
yeah,
sure. Kind of cool. But yeah, I'm just, after I left D.C., I went to work at Mesa Verde National Park. I bartended in the lodge for their summer season. And then my plan was to move to New Orleans after that. But I met a guy there that would go back to a racetrack in Lexington called Keeneland.
Oh.
And so he said, yeah, at the end of the season, just go there for a month, then go to New Orleans. You'll make good money and it's fun. And I had a blast doing it. It was so much fun. I got a good little gig. I bartended on the roof in the Keeneland room. They had built that room for when the Queen had come to America back in the 80s. It was her first visit to an American horse racing facility, and it's a beautiful property. It's unbelievably gorgeous.
That's...
You look out west across the horse fields on a fall day. It's unbelievable.
Okay, that's so interesting to me, because I've said on the podcast before, I've spent some time in Lexington. That's a thoroughbred track you're talking about, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The Miracle Miles there, which is the harness racing one, and that's the one I
know.
The
Red Mile.
Red Mile. I'm sorry, not the Miracle. You're right. Yeah. The Red Mile. Yeah. And that's the one I spent a lot of time at as a kid, because our horses race there. And I did not know there was a thoroughbred track there. Interesting. Okay.
Actually, Keeneland now owns the Red Mile. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. And then real quick, before our fun, dumb questions, now we have to tie this all with a bow and get us to, how did you become a Little?
I mean, I always remember him on the sports reporters back in the day. Usually if I saw him, that meant I didn't have to go to church that day. So every now and then I'd see the sports reporters, and I remember him being on. And then in 2001, I was out in Colorado at the time, and then Pardon the Interruption came on that fall, and I instantly liked it, enjoyed it. And then in 2003, I moved to D.C. My sister had moved to D.C., and she had convinced me to move out there. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking along the streets and seeing the old newspaper stands, you know, where you put the quarters in and you take it out.
Yeah.
You don't see anymore. But Kornheiser was just doing the columnettes at the time.
Yeah.
It was kind of near the end of his post days. Just a little snippet. But yeah. And then I learned that he had a radio show, and pretty much from there,
the rest is history, as they say.
Listen to it all the time. The rest is history.
And now you're on the Loyal Littles podcast.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I finally made it. It's fun listening to all the stories. It's kind of nice. So
yeah,
really
sure.
Yeah, that's why we did this. You know, I mean,
that's
there's
why
so
we
many,
do it.
Yeah,
yeah,
there's so many stories.
Yeah, it's fun.
About...
It's great.
Well, we can't thank you enough for coming on to meet the Littles, finally. But as you know, we have some fun, dumb questions for you. We hope that's okay.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Roxy, take it away.
All right. If you could be an Olympic athlete, in what sport would you compete?
Oh, swimming, I guess. Swimming. I swam competitively as a child. I was a little good, but it was fun. I always liked swimming. That's the only time I ever watched swimming is during the Olympics. So
the Olympics, yep. I'm
yeah,
with you.
There you go. It's amazing watching how fast they get through that water. So,
absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, what's one movie you love so much that you know you'll be best friends with another person just by them loving it as well?
Forrest Gump. That's my favorite movie.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Great. Great movie.
Nice.
Now, although that's the one that was up against Shawshank, right? That year, I think.
I think it was Pulp Fiction.
Oh, because that was the back-to-back years for Tom Hanks, right?
I believe so. Maybe I don't know. Did he win one for Philadelphia?
Yeah,
right
Philadelphia.
That same time period as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. If it was all right there.
Yeah, that
it was
one
like
came
93,
first.
94,
yeah, yeah, like... something like that. Now, since you brought it up, because I have some beefs with that movie, okay? Because I truly,
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, because I truly feel like it could have been the perfect movie of all time. I mean, I really do. I love the movie, okay? And there were things like towards the beginning of the movie that you're like, oh, come on. But then you sit there and think about it. Oh, that could have happened. Like when when Elvis comes to stay at their house as the, you know, bed and breakfast type thing. And you're like, hey, what's that move? You know, you're like, oh, come on. Then there's just similar things like that, okay, that you're like, okay, could have happened. But then, I'm sorry, we get to the, you know, the part where he, like, just decides to start running across the country and just things like that that I'm like, oh, come on. I don't know. It's just that towards the end, there were things that were just so far-fetched that I was like, come on. Because even, like, you know, when he's at the rally, you know, and sees Jenny and stuff like that, I'm like, okay, that could happen. You know, it's probably never would, but it could happen.
It's a movie, Chuck.
I'm pretty sure it did happen, though. Yeah.
Yeah, you just get over it, I guess. I don't know. Because there were a couple in the beginning that I'm like, oh, come on. But I'm like, ah, it could happen. So anyway. All right, Roxy. Shut me up, Roxy. What's next?
What's the one food you could never bring yourself to eat?
Oh, we butchered a goat once at a friend's place. And, and they,
I'm sorry, what?
They cooked some...
So you tried it, but you never want to try it again, right?
Yeah, it was like we went out to the farm and we got the goat and butchered it right there in the garage. It was wild. And they did some crazy dishes from pretty interesting parts of the animal. And my buddy and I, one dish, we looked at each other and we were like, we can't do it. Who's going to say it? And we're like, sorry, man.
You know, I totally can't do that understand one. What you're saying. And this one is going to sound like ridiculous of me because obviously I eat this animal all the time. But my first pig roast, when my parents were saying, hey, we're going to pig, I'm like, what? Disgusting. And, you know, as a kid, you get there and you see the pig on the spit and you see it roasting and you're like, this is totally gross. But I'm like, okay, I eat pig all the time. Okay, but I just don't see it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And yeah, so, exactly.
Now, I definitely don't think I could do the goat, but even the pig. No. Now, of course, I tried it, and it was the most delicious thing I ever had. But, you know, so I kind of got over it. But watching the pig go around it turned me off. But
it's goat, a little heartbreaking, I'd imagine,
But goat, I don't think I could get myself to do. That's a good one. So, all right.
No.
All right, last one. If you could squirt any condiment from your finger, what would it be?
Crystal hot sauce.
Wait, which one?
Okay.
It's a crystal hot sauce. It's a
very specific.
It's a local, very, very pop. You can pretty much get it anywhere now, but It's very much a New Orleans favorite for sure. It's not spicy, more flavorful, and just accentuates most dishes for sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Might have to try that, Roxy, next time we're down there. Because that's Roxy's answer, but for
you
a totally different
pretty
reason.
Much any restaurant.
All right, Roxy, how about some rapid fire?
Okay, Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Pancakes or waffles?
French toast.
Ah.
Ooh.
Okay, that's interesting. That's good.
Very fair.
That's fair. Now, would you put peanut butter on said French toast?
Oh, no.
Thank you. Okay, just want to clarify.
Just a little butter and some syrup. Maple
Absolutely.
Syrup.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of peanut butter, smooth or crunchy?
Crunchy, preferred, but I won't turn my head to smooth either, so.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. How about cake or pie?
Pie.
Nice.
I love a good
Any
chocolate cream pie.
Chocolate
mousse pie or chocolate cream pie with whipped cream and so good.
Yeah.
Lemon meringue is always good. Key lime pie. Can't go wrong. Give me a pie. I'll try them all.
Cups up or down in the cupboard?
They're up right now.
Okay.
But... I just moved into this place. So
okay.
I usually am I'm probably more of a down guy.
Oh,
I probably have to switch those now that I look at it. You brought it to my attention.
Right. And Uranus jokes, not funny or never not funny?
Never not funny.
Excellent. All right, Josh, thanks again for coming on to Meet the Littles. Now, what can we plug for you? You should plug your bar, obviously. And what else? Is
sure,
there anything else? How can we get in touch with you if you want to be gotten in touch with?
I am not on the social medias at all.
Okay.
Facebook was my last foray into it, and I got out of that prior to the last election.
Smart.
Good for you.
Tweeted once, and I didn't get it. So I you see me Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday at Napoleon House at nighttime, 3:30 to 10. Come on in for a Pimp's Cup or some other cocktail bite to eat, and give me a little cheesery if anything. So.
All right, and what do they get if they use the code LL Pod?
Heart of the cheesery, maybe, depending on what you order, maybe Mr. Tony salute. You never know.
There you
go.
Nice. Excellent. So, well, Josh, thanks again for coming on to Meet the Littles. And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Okay. Over or under?
Available.
Available.
Perfect. I like it.
All right. You're in Roxy's boat.
Otherwise, no preference.
Okay. All right, cool. Josh, thanks again. We really appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you all. It was a pleasure.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Andy Lucich, and you are listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast, and thank you, Josh Bodie, for coming on to Meet the Littles. Always a good time, as always, Roxy.
Yes.
Also wanted to give credit to the jingle, which was called New York Pizza Pie, and it was a combination of Bill Bartow in Columbus, Ohio.
Ooh.
Episode TBD.
Who?
Bill who? And John Fitzpatrick, of course, our good friend John Fitzpatrick. And of course, that was the one and only Joe Arrow on the vocals. So they all, I guess, collaborated to do that jingle. So that was nice.
Yep.
Before we get into our other stuff, Roxy, I have some cleanup on Isle Chuck stuff from that interview we just did.
Okay.
The name of the pizza place was called Pizza Delicious.
Ooh.
That's the name of the place. The address is, we'll give it a shout out, 617 Piety Street, P-I-E-T-Y, Piety maybe Street, New Orleans. It's just pizzadelicious.com if you're interested. It was way off the beaten path. It was not like in downtown. It was not in the district, I guess, as they say. So that's what it was. I couldn't remember the name of it while we were recording the interview. I wanted to clean that up. And then before we get to, should we talk about what a lucky charm Roxy is? I think people must know that now.
What?
But, we already kind of said in the first part of the podcast what we did Sunday night after the show.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck also wanted to leave like Monday and Tuesday kind of free to do other things, which we've been doing, obviously.
Right.
I mean, Oz had us over for another great dinner.
Yeah.
To his establishment.
Yep.
Again, above and beyond.
Yeah.
Mr. Episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a fun-filled day today.
Yes.
We're going to have breakfast. Uncle Ted. We're meeting Uncle Ted. We don't know who Uncle Ted is.
No, I'm excited.
I think his name's Ted Perry, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think that's his name.
Yep.
And he's a local broadcaster, I guess, on one of the TV shows. I don't know. We're going to meet him, though. So we're kind of looking forward to that. But what I was trying to talk about was Chuck also did his laundry. Figured we'd get that out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
So we had some good luck. So I go to put the laundry in. And I was telling Roxy this story, and she didn't really believe me at first, but I think each one cost $2. $2 to wash, $2 to dry.
Yep.
So I put 2 quarters in the washer, and it just went beep, and it said start. So I hit start, and it started.
Oh.
I got you my laundry for 50 cents.
There you go.
So I had some extra, leftover money. So they have snack machines down there. So I was in the mood for some Cheetos. So I went over the machine, the Cheetos ripoff. Well, it's not that bad. Little mini bags.
Yeah,
it was
right.
$1.
Yeah.
That's not that bad, but it's still kind of like
a dollar for that. That should be like 50 cents.
Right. 50 cents. Right. Whatever. Anything. So put the four quarters in, mm-hmm. push the button, mm-hmm. and it starts coming out as it's falling to the, it actually worked. That's not where the story's going.
Okay.
It didn't get stuck.
Right.
It's falling. And as it falls, I hear clink, 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 clunk in the chains thing. And I'm like, whoa, what's that? It's like, you know, I hit the slot machine here. So I go and get my Cheetos out of the thing. Mm-hmm. Then I reach in and sure enough, it like refunded me $1. So I got them for free. But as I'm reaching into the coin, I look over and there's another bag of
Cheetos
in the machine.
So you got two for the price of none.
Two for the price of none, basically. And I got my clothes washed for 50 cents.
Yeah.
So how great is that?
So anyway. 50% discount on your clothes and 100% discount on... Plus, that's a 200% discount.
Okay, that's math. Is that like in a logarithm we need to work on?
I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So anyway, before we get to our emails, we did want to acknowledge it's been a while, but because the last time we dropped an episode, it was literally the day after it happened. The Oscar nominations.
Yes.
They came out.
Yes.
Now, we're going to get Sid on this. Don't worry.
Right.
Okay. Sid will be our movie person again because mm-hmm. she sees everything.
Yeah.
She's the one that skips work.
Yep.
But we won't tell you, you know, just in case her bosses listen, to go see these movies. Now, there's a lot on here I haven't even seen yet.
Right.
One of which I'm a little disappointed in all of us because, well, when I got out here, I just didn't have time.
Right.
I didn't have time before I left. I literally left the day after Christmas mm-hmm. and I just didn't have time. I wanted to see it in the movie theater. It was recommended to see it in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. Then I've heard other people saying, you don't really need to see it in the movie theater, but I want to see it in the movie theater. Somewhere.
What is that?
Maestro.
Oh, yes.
Best Picture nominee, Maestro. Yes. So let's go through these, okay? We're not going to do all of this, but we're going to wait for Sid. There's a lot of controversy.
Yes.
As there always is. I feel like there is every year.
Yeah.
But the Best Pictures, and again, there's way too many. This drives me crazy. I get that it's all for marketing and it's all for just being mm-hmm. able to, hey, Best Picture nominee. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
It's a participation trophy.
Yeah, it's not a participation. You know, it's like, yeah, as Tony says, it's not the hall of the very good. Okay. These are best. Okay. Anyway, the nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, half of those I've never even heard of.
Right.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Oppenheimer is the early favorite. From what I've been hearing.
I think so.
I mean, I can't imagine they're going to go there with Barbie, but maybe.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard everyone's raving. Now, I saw it with you. I mean, it was good, but...
I mean, of those, that's the only one that I saw, so I can't really...
Yeah. I saw The Holdovers, which mm-hmm. was excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent movie. Yeah. Again, without seeing Oppenheimer, I can't sit mm-hmm. here and go, like, it should win, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the hard part. And
they're also all very, very different movies.
Yeah, but in my opinion, it's one of those things where you can't sit there and argue for a movie when you haven't seen all of them.
Right.
You know, that's not fair.
Right.
And that's why I feel I hate this, because there's no way I'm going to see all of these.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way.
Well, good thing for you. You don't have to vote for any
of
them.
Right. But I mean, but that's the fun thing to do.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Root for something and be
sure.
like, oh, this should win and
sure.
see what happens. But
sure.
Best Actor, Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin,
mm-hmm.
Paul Giamatti for Holdovers, mm-hmm. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. Again, some of these movies I've never even heard of. Uh-huh. Rustin? What is that?
I have no idea.
Best Actress. Annette Bening for Naiad, another one. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller, is that how you say her name? Anatomy of the Fall, Carey Mulligan, Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Best Supporting Actors, Sterling K. Brown.
Oh.
I'm guessing that's your favorite. American Fiction, we haven't seen that.
No, but I love him.
Yeah, Robert De Niro, mm-hmm. obviously. Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer. I've heard wonderful things. We have to see that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Gosling for Barbie,
yep.
which was the controversy. Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things. Now, the reason we say the controversy is because his counterpart did not get...
Yeah, Margot Robbie did not get a nomination.
And neither did the director.
Greta Gerwig did not as well.
So we're going to hold off on all that other stuff
before
you know, we go into it. And as the Oscars get closer, I don't know. Are you rooting for anyone? I mean, like we said, it's hard to...
No, I don't know. It's nice that we're still producing movies. Are they all my cup of tea? No.
Right.
Are there some that I want to see? Yes. Are there some that I don't really care? Right. So, no, I mean, it's just the whole, like, idea of the Oscars and, you know, it's still, like, a nice, like, everyone's coming together to celebrate all of these movies. Yes, there's drama always behind it, but ultimately, too, like, people are working, actors are working, writers are working with the writer's strike and all of that. We're moving forward.
Someone like Ryan Gosling an Oscar for Barbie.
They could.
I mean, I guess.
He was very good as Ken.
He was.
Now, I don't know the other actors and what right. they did. I mean, I know who most of them are, and I know they're excellent actors. So I think they all bring something interesting to the table. It's honestly just a matter of who the Oscar voters, yeah. you know, what they're into right now. So right. we'll see.
All right. Well, that's our... Do we have a bowling update? We don't. Bowling starts this Thursday.
Official.
We started last week, but it was preseason.
It was preseason, right.
So we got to get a team together. You're going to hopefully go?
I'm going to try to go, yes.
Okay, because I'm not there. I'm missing the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, kind of terrible.
Absolutely terrible. But hopefully Sid will be there.
Yes.
Ritz will be there, but he doesn't bowl on our team. Hopefully we'll have some other people there. Yeah. We got to get six there.
Yes.
If you want to join a bowling team, Littles, get in touch. Then, why don't we just get to our emails and get out of here so we can get to our big day.
Yeah.
We got breakfast. We got tours. We yes. got lots of stuff going on in Milwaukee. All right. We heard from Jim Lien. Is that we have to get him on the podcast so we know how to say his name. Lien. How would you say that? Lien?
Lien,
I guess. It says, Lewis, tell Chuck and Roxy that today's show is great. And thank you for pointing me to episode 113 with Kevin Kip Sheeman. It was really good. So we got that going for us, Roxy. It was really good.
There you go.
There was something which came up on the show that I wanted to mention to you, but I forgot. Maybe it'll come back to me. Enjoy Wisconsin and stay warm. All right. Then we got some reviews from the last episode.
Okay.
Chuck, who is Mark's wife? Best player to play at UNC and no follow-up? Christopher Campbell, episode 259.
That's also my bad. I could have also
picked
up on that.
Thank you for taking half the blame. Yeah. But, you know, it was his interview.
This is a group effort, remember,
Littles. Well, it was her interview, though. You know, and, you know, remember, sometimes other people, you know, they don't feel comfortable talking about other people in their family or whatever.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And, you know, sometimes we don't want to push, and if they want to mention it, they can. And
right.
if he wants to come back on and tell us more about
Five Mediocre Minutes.
Five Mediocre Minutes. Then we heard from Norwegian Soft Kitten, our favorite, one of our favorite bands here on the Loyal Littles podcast. And it just says volleyball talk and curling talk in the same episode. Glorious. All right, we're running short on time. We have one more. Joe Magnu, episode 70. Hi, Choxie. Just listened to the epic 292 with Mark Hughes and wanted to chime in on a few things. He said he went to St. Francis in Loretto, Pennsylvania. I have been there many times, either televising a football or basketball game or taking my son there to volleyball camp when he was in high school. What stands out the most is that five of my top 10 worst driving in bad weather experiences, snow, fog, or both, was going to or from St. Francis. Mm. Also, I had a traumatic experience in the men's room at a diner in Loretto.
No.
I feel like we need more information on that. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. You can call it I didn't need to see that moment.
No.
So hopefully it didn't involve him. I don't know. Anyway, tell Mark I still play volleyball too. Let's get a game going. Keep up the great work. P.S. I melt every time Sid is on. Her voice is like butter. We agree.
Agreed. 100%.
100%.
Yeah.
As do others.
Yep.
Volleyball. There's something we've never done, like at a Jingle Fest.
Ooh, a volleyball.
And that's
tournament?
Something I feel like more people could, you know, there's been talk of getting a softball game.
Should
together.
We do a Jingle Fest at Rehoboth Beach and then we do Ooh. Beach volleyball?
Hello, Roxy. Roxy's the new party planning committee.
Please no.
President.
Dear Lord, no.
That sounds great.
I mean, any beach would be awesome.
Yeah, but. I mean, that's
beach day.
Funny.
Beach games?
Well, or why isn't there a Summer of Littles there? That might, if there is a Summer of Littles in Rehoboth Beach.
Oh, that's good.
That might compete.
That's good.
Because, I mean, Michigan's already banking on us coming up there. Even though we haven't said we're coming, they're banking on us going up there.
Mm-hmm. I know we have a few months to figure that out.
Yeah. But hello, Rehoboth Beach with volleyball.
Yeah.
That could be good. And because, you know, people have, I think it was Smitty Scoop that was really trying to push to get a softball game going because mm-hmm. that's my passion.
Yep.
And that's great and all. But mm-hmm. You need 20 people and, you know, at least with volleyball, you can get away with just eight.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Possibly,
right.
you know, 8 to 12
sure.
kind of thing.
Sure.
And that might just be easier.
Hmm.
Huh.
Hmm.
Interesting. Roxy.
I'm thinking.
Roxy with the wheels turning. I can hear them. All right, Roxy. Well, that's all the time we have. We got to get out of here. We got so much going on today. But another quick shout out. Oz, the great and flavorful Emerald City Catering. I mean, hosting the event Saturday night.
Yep.
And then having us back on Monday for a nice dinner and all this stuff. It's just above and beyond. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to all our supporters.
Yep.
Thank you to everyone who came to Chuck Fest featuring Roxy.
Yep.
And what else can we say, Roxy? I guess just tell them how to get in touch with us.
Yeah, just go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. All the information you need on us is over there.
You can send us messages, submit music, all that stuff. But more importantly, let's get back to this book thing. I want answers.
Yes.
You can even tweet those at us and we'll see them. Okay.
Yep.
Curious, how much of a book do you have to read
for it to count as one book?
As a book. Like, okay, I read that book.
To me, one book equals one book.
I mean, right? Yeah, I'm genuinely curious. I'm going to reach out to Tori.
Yeah.
And see what, you know, maybe she has a follow-up to that.
Yeah.
So, also, if you do listen to us on Apple and iTunes, please remember to go over there and give us a nice rate and review. We really appreciate that. And, of course, once again, thank you, Josh Bodie, for coming on to Meet the Littles. Good time was had by all. We really appreciate you. And we appreciate all the Littles.
Yes.
You know, for coming. Because without you, there'd be no podcast.
Yep.
So, thank you. And remember, if you need a book,
go to aaronsbooks.com.
And as you're checking out, in the comment section.
And it's for one whole book.
One whole.
At least.
Yeah, could you imagine if he sent you only half a book? That'd be great. He sent you half a book. Yeah, apparently you don't have to read the whole book, but buy the book at aaronsbooks.com.
I wonder if it would be prorated.
Maybe you get a bigger discount or less of a discount. I don't know. Anyway, in the comment section, don't forget to
use the code.
I finally made it.
The Loyal Littles Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
Oh, yeah.